I've never done this without holding something. It feels very weird. I'll try not to break into song. Ben has promised that if I do, he'll just cut me off, which is great. I want you just to close your eyes for a minute and try not to go to sleep, which I would struggle probably if I was in your position. I want you just to imagine, the feeling of rest and peace. Imagine what that might feel like, and imagine a place where you might feel restful and peaceful, maybe the people that might surround you, or it might be blissful isolation. Maybe you might feel the warmth on your face if you like warmth. You might be on a beach somewhere, up a mountain. How long can you stay there for? Okay, open your eyes. You're not there. You're here. And life isn't like that all the time, is it? It's not really kind of this beautiful, peaceful, joyful, stress-free kind of life. Stuff happens to you. Stuff happens in your brain, in your heart, to your body. People say stuff to you. You say stuff to other people. Things happen in the world. And we don't always feel a sense of peace. In fact, we often feel less than peaceful. We often feel quite stressed. You might think, if I'm younger, I'll be less stressed when I'm older. When you're older, you think, I think I was less stressed when I was younger. But often we carry around with us things we're worried about. Do you agree? Yeah. Well, I think you've done a great thing tonight. I think you've done something already to help you work towards addressing how we cope with life stresses. You've come to church. That is a good thing. And I think it's one of the things that's going to help you. Right, what I've got here is some piece of paper. Joseph, what colour is that?
Orange.
What colour is that?
Peach.
Okay. Boys and girls, there you go. That's a study. Okay. Guys, you're going to be given an orange piece of paper. And girls, you're going to get a peach piece of paper. Okay. And there you go. I'm not paying you. Like, I'm just saying, I'm not paying you. You're doing this for love. Okay. These great guys are going to come and give you a piece of paper. And what I'd like to do is just to think for a moment. You can talk to the person next to you about some of the things in life that you find are stressing you out a bit. And write them down. And if you don't want to write them down, you can just put a thing that represents that. You know, if you just want to put an X on a bit of paper and you know what that means, that's okay. But you can name it and you can write it down. And then when you come put it somewhere at the front, just remember where you put it, okay? I haven't got enough paper, just rip it in half. If you're next to somebody who hasn't got enough, just rip it in half. Here you go. Look, I work in education, cutbacks.
What do you have to write down?
Anything that's stressing, something that's stressing you out, something that's worrying you. Do you want to hand out some pens? You haven't done anything all night. And then just come and lay it down here at the front somewhere. Is that stressing you out? It can be a word, it can be several paragraphs. Then just come and lay it down here at the front when you've done that. Share a pen, share the love. My 4-year-old can always find a pen at church. Who said we'd run out? There's clearly a lot of stress in this room because no one's put one down yet. There we go, here we go. Here's a flood. She's very hot. write down your stress or worries or anything. So. Thank you very much for participating in that. And we'll come back to those later. Have you come to pit swap mine? Oh, I've done one over there as well. I've dropped a drink over there as well. Yeah. We have a mopping up service during the talk. That's fantastic. I can see here that people have stresses. I can see here these are open stresses, and over here they're folded up. These are hidden stresses. And all the folded up ones have gone to one side. And so there are obviously more extreme stresses. But let's just turn to the Bible and just going to look at, read one verse off today in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. Okay, Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. And I'll read verse 1 as well. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array by the seventh day, and God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So tonight what I'm going to do is just look at this idea of how we cope with life stresses. I'm going to look at some examples from Jesus' life. I'm going to say something about work, and then I'm going to finish off by saying something about rest. And I thought, I chose this topic or this talk, you know, from a list, because I thought it would be the easy one, wouldn't it? Coping with life stresses. I thought, I'm pretty chilled out. And I thought, this will be absolutely fine. But obviously, leading up this talk, life gets really busy. You know, your children are terrible. No, you know, demands come into your life. Things get busy. It gets hot, so everyone stops sleeping. And suddenly you feel a bit stressed. And then you come to write a talk about coping with life stresses, and you kind of go, oh yeah, God ordained this for me, because I need this too. Having a look at these stresses here, I can just see that they are many. They're many and varied. And they're real. You know, we're not denying that, actually. As Christians or those who don't follow Jesus, that our stresses are real. We feel it, and they take their toll, because they can lay one upon the other upon the other. And you can go through whole seasons in life where you're just feeling this so much. And I can see just by looking at them here, some people just kind of got into a bit of a flow. And this, and this, and this. And do you know what? Jesus acknowledges our stresses. You know, in John 16:33, it talks about, you know, in this life you will have trouble. But there is hope. We're not just going to end by laying out our stresses and going home by picking everyone else's up. And they won't last forever. And there is the promise of eternal rest. So I'm seeing two volunteers that are probably at least 5'10". Excellent. Excellent. Fantastic. Right. Always wanted to be Paul Daniels. Take that one then. Good job, Anthony. He's very good. As far as it is. Okay, and then can you hold it a little like that? I need two other people. I'll take you two at the front, you two good looking people.
It's not going to be that dramatic, can I just warn you? But can you just pretend it is? Okay, just what did you say?
Whoa.
Whoa, drop it. Okay, oh. Oh, oh dear. Oh dear. You seem, are you alright there?
Yeah. It's just a scratch.
Oh, just a scratch. I was getting ready. Is there anything we can do to try and help you? Anything you might need?
Yeah. Has anybody got plasters, a print stick, a sellotape?
Or any unbranded alternatives? No? I'm really sorry. We're all out.
Oh, I'll live without them.
Oh, I've got a plaster. Oh, these are good. These are for your heel, aren't they? I tell you what, put that in your mouth. There we go. There we go. Excellent. You should be... So you'll be fine? Oh, thanks. Well, we did try and help, didn't we? Yeah. Thank you very much. Give a round of applause. Oh, sorry. Come on, jump. 1, 2, 3. Sometimes we can be like that with our stresses, can't we? And we say, actually, it's fine, they'll just go away. Our stresses will just go away. There's not a problem. But we've acknowledged them here. And actually, our stresses won't just go away. And rather than, when we come to address our stresses, sometimes we might look at what we can do, add a plaster, add some prick stick. And actually, when we try and work out our stresses without God, then essentially that's what we're doing. We're trying to apply a non-solution to our problems. But here are some patterns from Jesus' life. I'm just going to go through some of the patterns of maybe how he dealt with some of the stresses in his life. And I think that's a good place to go to look at some of the stresses in our life. So firstly, how do we cope with stresses in our life? First of all, we fill our mind. In times of stresses, what did Jesus do when he was tempted by Satan in the desert? What did he do when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, as David referred to this morning? He cast his mind onto Scripture. He leant on God's word and its fulfillment. And likewise, we can dwell on God's word, which can encourage and strengthen us under trial. I just think of Psalm 119 verse 65, which says, "Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." So let's fill our minds with God's word and God's promises, and let's lean on them and trust what God says is true. Secondly, we can do one step at a time, and we can take one breath at a time. When demands feel overwhelming, and when the task ahead of you seems too enormous, who's ever felt that? The demands on you are too demanding and it seems too enormous, too overwhelming. You know, I do a little bit of running and sometimes I think I'm going to go for a long run today and I decide where I'm going to run and I think, that's a long drive. How am I going to get that? That's a big hill I'm going to go up. How am I going to do that? And then I figure, I'll probably do it one step at a time and then I'll do another step. And then I'll do another step. As David was referring to this morning, when Jesus prayed, talking about his priorities, and we talk about the Lord's Prayer, which we referred to this morning, it says, seeking first God's kingdom. God's will be done. So when we see something that feels something that's too enormous, what do we need to do? We need to prioritize our actions. And in all of those things, to seek first God's kingdom. And not let trivial things, that small things, obscure us from the main thing of seeking first God's kingdom. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know he was going to be arrested and under trial, he still held tight to the Father. He had the main goal in sight. He prioritized the kingdom of God. Thirdly, God's in charge and he can't lose. I always think back to primary school when there was a bit of beef in the playground. You know, you hold tight to the most intimidating dinner lady there is, and you just follow her around. We had quite a dominating dinner lady who everyone was scared of. Yeah, I was scared of her. But if I ever felt in danger or in trouble, I just made sure I was kind of close to her. She was quite big, so it was quite easy to stay quite close to her. But wherever she went, I would just follow her around and think, until this trouble is over, I'm just going to stay under the protection of this dinner lady. Because she's not going to let anything, anyone harm me. And when our plans crashes, we need to remember that actually we can be under God's care. Because no power can thwart God's plans. They might thwart our plans, but if they're God's plans, they can't be thwarted. Isn't that, doesn't give you confidence, actually, to go out and when things fail, to be okay about that? Does me. Fourthly, go to the mountain. Talk to the boss. Now this is kind of like, you know, an amen really to David's message this morning about prayer. If you think of Jesus' life, in, again, in John 6:15, when the crowds were so excited by what Jesus might be able to do, they wanted to crown him king, didn't they? They wanted to make him a political figure. And he withdrew to the mountain at that stage. You know, when he was under the stress of people kind of raising him up to the position that he wasn't supposed to be put in, he went off to the mountain to pray. And he sought God's presence. And as David reminded us this morning, the importance of seeking God's presence. So often, you know, and Tim has also reminded me about this in the past, that when we have a problem, we talk about it and we share it and we fret about it. And then someone says, have you prayed about it? And actually, we need to just go directly to the one who loves us and knows us and made us and whose plans can't be thwarted, and to pray. Philippians 4:6, what does it say? It says, do not be anxious about anything, but... I love doing this. Just throws out because I'm not sure what it says. Just see all the different versions that come back. Yeah, do not be anxious about anything, but the prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now we could just kind of just spend moments meditating on that, couldn't we? But as we come back to that first point, you know, let God's word dwell in you. So when you're anxious about these things, Jesus knows them, he acknowledges them, they're real. But present them to God. And he promises his peace, which isn't the kind of peace that the world can give you. It's not even that happy place you were in at the beginning, with the water lapping on your toes. When we said, close your eyes and think of a happy place. It's greater than that. It's more real than that. It lasts longer than that. And lastly on this point, when there are no quick answers, because we recognize actually our stresses are genuine and real, and sometimes there are no simple solutions and there are no easy escapes, God is always faithful. God is always faithful. Bless you. And we can always trust in him. So those are some helpful things from Jesus' life. Now, a word about work. Who likes work? Who likes doing work? Who doesn't really like doing work? Let's be honest. Yeah, if you couldn't, you know, yeah. And who's really kind of, is either way? It's all right. Sometimes it's all right, sometimes it's not. Yeah. Because sometimes stress can actually come from an overactive mind and an underactive body. I remember somebody put Sunday just before Monday. I'm not sure who did that, but Monday's when you start work, and certainly when you're a chiddly monk, it's school. And you have that wonderful feeling on a Sunday of not being at school, but knowing that Monday's coming. And it's about now in the service, you go, doo-loo-loo. Oh, maths. Ooh, science. Ooh, French test. Ooh, 8-week project I haven't started. And suddenly all those things kind of build up in your mind. And you go home from church going, Mom, Dad, I haven't done my homework. And they go, it's 9:30. You said you'd done it. I forgot. I left it at school. What time does school open? Have you got the caretaker's number? And sometimes work can be a place, can't it, where, and it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be young to do that. You have those same feelings. You know, you've got a meeting tomorrow or a deadline, and there's a little phrase that, as I was thinking about this, it says, and this is for me really, stop chewing and start doing. Sometimes it's about doing that thing that needs to be done, because work is good, actually. God ordained work, gave us stuff to do. It says in the Bible to honor God with the way you work. And sometimes some of these stresses are because we've just been thinking about it, and actually we just need to get on and do it. Just reminds me of when I was at school and I went to watch Luton Town versus Bristol Rovers away on a school night. I didn't live in Bristol, I lived near Luton. And I remember, and my mum said, you can only go if you've done all your homework, because it's a late night. We're going to get back about 1 a.m. It was a Tuesday night. It was the Intertoto Cup or something really important. And I said, yeah, of course, yeah, done all my homework. Didn't check. And then came home. Hadn't done my maths. My maths teacher was really scary. He used to shout a lot. And I thought, I'd better do my maths homework. And so obviously I'm in a light on. My mum wakes up in the middle of the night. There's a light on. Stumbles through. 3 a.m, I'm there. You said you didn't have any homework. I forgot. I just found it. And sometimes, actually, we need to make sure that as people that are Christ's ambassadors, that we honour God with the way that we work. But on the other hand, some of us try and work so much that we try and earn maybe God's favour or other people's favour by the accumulation of our work. We think maybe that if we do lots of stuff and extra stuff, then we will show that we are more worthy. But the Bible is very clear that our worth isn't based on what we do. God loves us because he loves us. Because he loves us. And we read in the Bible about grace, kind of this free gift of love that's demonstrated in Jesus. And so maybe we're in one of those two camps where either we're trying to work really hard to earn God's favor and other people's favor, and that's causing us stress. We're overworking. Or maybe we're underworking and we're being a bit lazy and we're putting things off. Either way, there's things that we can learn about that. I was thinking about this today. Children giggle a lot. Have you noticed that? They just giggle and laugh. I mean, they're quite tickly, so they giggle when you tickle them. But they just giggle. That really, we think, what? Oh, they're laughing about. What's all the giggling? Stop it. And sometimes, maybe some of our stresses, you know, I really believe that the God ordained us, you know, that gave us family and friends. He gave us laughter. He gave us bodies to enjoy, physicality. He gave us all these things to enjoy. And sometimes maybe as we grow up, we lose a bit of that joy. You know, when was the last time you giggled? Do you laugh every week? Do you get out of breath every week? Do you build friendships every week? Do you have things every week you look forward to? You know, good things. Because those can be, you can live your life through those things as an act of worship. You can honor God through those things. I want to turn to the person next to you. And you can tell somebody one of those things. Is there a time this week you got out of breath when you giggled or laughed or built some friendship? Have a chat. You laughed earlier. I saw you laughing. When you were hitting with the ball.
I'm just being
Great, thank you very much. And finally, a word about rest. The verse we looked at the beginning was from Genesis, and it was after the creation story. And Jesus looked at what he'd made, and it was good. And he gave this day of rest, this kind of cessation of labor. It wasn't because God was, I need a cup of tea. You know, I'm done. I've got nothing else to give. Because God is all powerful. He made the world with a word. But it was a great pattern for us. And also pointing to the future. And I know there was a sermon about this recently, about the Sabbath as part of the looking at the Ten Commandments. So if you do have a listen to that. But this Sabbath here is a gift to us. And it says in Mark 2:27, when Jesus was talking about the Lord of the Sabbath, when his disciples picked some corn, and people said, oh, I can't do that on the Sabbath. And Jesus responded, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Just a reminder, actually, that this is a gift instituted by God, that we should have a time each week that is a time of intended rest, in which we invite God particularly into that time. It's almost like God knows us better than we know ourselves. Almost like we need it, because we do. But next week we'll need it again. And then we'll need it again. And then we'll need it again. And we can help each other in this area by giving each other this rest, encouraging each other in this area, and reminding each other, actually, to take a Sabbath in our lives. But the good news is that there is also an eternal rest, an eternal Sabbath. Because of Jesus, because of his gift of eternal life to us through his death and resurrection, because of his perfect sacrifice, the promise of pure and glorious and eternal and joyful and fulfilling, just let those words kind of flow through you, is ours. It's a promise of his eternal rest in glory with him forever. And you can forget all your stresses. Oh, I can't even imagine, can you? That's how great it's going to be. And that's how glorious. Come, Lord Jesus. So, let's just reflect. Let's just bow our heads. Let's think. And let's allow God to work in our lives and address those stresses, those things that we carry around. And let's claim some of those promises that we've looked at tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us and that our value isn't based on what we do. Thank you that you know us, and you know us more than we know ourselves. You know our stresses. You know the things that worry us. But Lord Jesus, you promise your peace. Help us to call out to you. Help us to spend time in your presence. Help us to remember your word. Help us to create patterns of rest in our life. And Lord, we just want to lay down tonight our stresses, knowing that you care for us. Lord, thank you that we can trust you, that you are faithful, and no power can thwart your plans. We pray for faith, Lord Jesus. Amen. The band are going to come up in a moment, and they're going to lead us in a song that I think is new to us. And as they do that, what I'd like you to do is I'd like to come and collect your stress, folded or open. And I'd like you to kind of take it back, and you can go back to your seats and remain seated. And just think about some of those things that we've discussed tonight and the pattern of it. Maybe you want to just recall some scripture that you want to open up and look at and meditate on it as you look at your stresses and lay that down. Maybe you want to spend some time praying over that. Maybe you want somebody near you to pray for you as well. Maybe you want to go off to the mountain. You can go wherever you like. You can go to a quiet space. Spend some time with the Lord. Maybe you might just want to get your phone out or your diary and just mark in some times when you're going to mark into your life some, get rid of some dots and put some dots in that say, I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to spend time resting. I'm going to spend time with those people that actually give me rest in their presence. So we're going to have a time to do that. Whilst Becky and the band lead us. So do come and collect your stresses.